Hi everyone, this is Jack Lynch, radio and TV producer for Renewal Ministries. We will soon be switching our podcast to a new server, and this will require some action from some of you. We will switch to the new server for our podcast beginning the week of Monday, November 12th, 2018. Starting that week, if you don't continue to get the latest episodes of the shows as you normally do, you will need to make a simple change. First, delete the current podcast for the show and then resubscribe to it as you did originally. It's that simple, and you won't lose any episodes. For any questions or problems, please call me, Jack Lynch, at 734-662-1730, extension 125. That's Jack Lynch at 734-662-1730, extension 125, or email me at jlynch@renewalministries.net. And thank you for listening to the show.
So good.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Before we take a look at the readings for today, I just wanted to mention that if you go on our website, renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net, and once you get to the website, just put a / FFJ, and you can listen to past programs or current programs of Food for the Journey. Sometimes we miss one. We'd like to make it up. You can do it by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on radio. I also want to say that my colleague, Peter Herbeck, does a program called Fire on the Earth. Both of us work for Renewal Ministries, and it's good to that our programs are, in a certain sense, in tandem with one another. So I encourage you to listen to Peter's program as well as to mine, because I think he comes at many issues from different angles, and his base is different than mine, which is the readings of the day. But he provides us with an excellent commentary on many, many issues. And I would encourage you to listen to Peter's program, Fire on the Earth. You can access that, again, by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on radio. Well, today we take a look at the first reading, which is a letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. My beloved, obedient as you have always been, not only when I am present, but all the more now when I am absent, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does he mean by that? Doesn't mean going around paralyzed by fear and shaking and quaking. What he means is that we ought to understand that God has given us life, and he's given us life that beyond our years on this earth, we are called to live with him forever. And so in this life, we want to be making choices and decisions that foster our journey toward God. He says here, for God is the one who for his good purpose works in you both to desire and to work. That God wants to give us even the right desires, the desires for what is good, and to work, to cooperate with that grace toward our own salvation. We can't save ourselves. Only the Savior can save us. But we could reject him, we could turn away, and God will not force us to love him and serve him. He offers. But who would turn down God? And yet we do so many times, don't we? Because the things that entice us, the things that interest us, the things that take our attention are often not things that are going to lead us into the kingdom of God. Some of them might be neutral. Some of them might be quite detrimental. And so that's what is being said here in Paul's letter. He says, do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, That's us too, isn't it? It was the same in Jesus' time. The crooked and perverse generation who doesn't include God in any way, maybe token inclusion, but it doesn't really shape and change your life, your goals, your priorities, the things you do. All the aspects of daily life are intended to lead us, because of Christ's death on the cross, to lead us safely home to Him. That's our destiny. That's our destination. It's not to receive all of the world's accolades. It's to receive Christ. And so what we want to do, we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, those who don't know God and don't care to know God. And if our lives are being lived well, we can become a sign to those people of what awaits them if they choose to follow God. He goes on to say, you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine like lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life, so that my boast for the day of Christ may be that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. In other words, Paul has dedicated his life to bringing the gospel to all the people around him. That's his call. That's what he's doing. And he said, so if you shine like light in the world, which God wants of us, and it honestly, it is an analogy, but in another way, there's certain truth about it. There is a beauty on the face of men and women when they really are committed to Christ. You see it. You almost see it. It attracts. Your physical eyes may not see it, but you sense it. And what the Lord wants is that we become light in the darkness so that people can find him. Even if they've rejected him in a number of ways, that they can find him. And we're called not only to live life in the sense of our goal being heaven. I hope that's the goal of everybody, that our desire in life is heaven. But what about the people who don't believe at all? And so even in the midst of challenges and difficulties, if you come across as a person of faith, you put your trust in God, you pray with people, you support, you encourage, you open the door for them to know Christ. Every single one of us is called to show forth the Christ who dwells within us, that others may be attracted. Paul goes on to say, but even if I am poured out as a libation upon the sacrificial service of your faith, even if I'm poured out, if I'm drained of everything, I rejoice and share my joy with all of you. In the same way, you also should rejoice and share your joy with me. We need to build one another up, brothers and sisters. We need to build one another up. When you receive from someone the goodness of the kingdom or the wisdom of the kingdom or whatever, when you receive that, repay it by praying for them. Don't just say, oh, well, they've got it all. Pray for them. If someone has brought you the good news of Jesus Christ, pray for them. Support them however you can. Little ways can be very hidden ways. But as Paul says, in the same way, you also should rejoice and share your joy with me. See what he's doing? He's building up the body of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. We may think we're isolated, but we're not. So if you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I feel isolated. I don't know if I don't even know how to speak to you. Would you please come and help me? You just say that. God will never violate your free will, but if you invite him, he will reveal himself. Not the way you perhaps imagine, but it'll be unmistakable. We have to persevere for a while. But when God sees that perseverance, he blesses. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? Is that true for you? Is he your light, your salvation, your refuge? One thing I ask of the Lord, and this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. When you have a psalm that hits you that, you know, this is saying something I need to pray, or this is helping me to understand something about God's relationship with me. Take those psalms and learn them. This is Psalm 27. Every day in the mass readings, you have a psalm. Read it. And then we look briefly here at Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what does he mean by hate? It means you put yourself in last place. You put the service of God and the service of your neighbor first and second. Sometimes we have to put ourselves first for obvious reasons. But in a general pattern of life, what he's saying, he uses the word hating. That's how it gets translated. It doesn't mean hate and that we dislike or that we want to bring harm to. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that we choose God over even our closest relationships. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers would laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish," and they mock. Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Those are strong words. And if you look at it in this sense, as I mentioned a moment ago, look at it this way. Is God first when I'm making decisions? Do I seek the will of God? Do I put my dilemmas before him? Do I put the difficulties in relationships? Do I bring them to him and say, "Lord, teach me, show me, help me to do your will here"? That's putting God first. That's putting God first. Jesus says it so strongly, every one of you, in the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Those are strong words. But brothers and sisters, we need to take them seriously, quite seriously. It doesn't mean that other things aren't important in life. It simply means put God first. Well, how do you put God first? You say, "Lord, I value this relationship. I perhaps would like to marry this person. I bring this to you, and I ask, Lord, that you would cover us in your will, that we would be faithful to you, and that your will be done through this relationship. Or I'm having struggles with my children or my grandchildren. Lord, you've called me to be a parent. You've called me to be a grandparent. Lord, please help me. Please give me wisdom that I can impart. Please help me. I bring this child or this adult, young adult, before you, and I ask, Lord, that you would bless them and lead them close to you. Use me in whatever way you wish." That kind of submission to God, that kind of openness and faith to believe that God hears those prayers and God will inspire, God will give wisdom, God will give help. But we need to be in a position where we're willing to entrust even the things nearest and dearest to us in this life, especially those things, to bring them before God and say, "Lord, these are your gifts to me. I cherish them and I desire that you would help me to accomplish your will through these relationships." Give everything to him. Follow him, and you'll know a joy that no one will take from you. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.